Last week I introduced a subject that it is probably not a common subject in Christian pulpits today, as I spoke on the fear of God. The fear of God. Actually, the Bible is filled with the fear of God and teaching from beginning to end. From beginning to end. It just didn't park itself in the Old Testament, and then when our Savior came along, that there's no more fear of God, as it were. But yet, we do interpret the New Testament often with the love of God, the grace of God, that somehow there is no fear anymore. Of course, one of Jesus' many, he probably said it more often than anything else, he said, "Fear not, fear not." Now, he's talking about one type of fear. But the fear of God is something that is prevalent throughout all of Scripture. You want to be wise? Fear the Lord. You want provision? Psalm 34. Fear the Lord. You want protection? Fear the Lord. You want to know what the whole duty of man is? Solomon said, it's fearing God. Peter, 1 Peter 2:17. He said there's four very important things, and one of them is fearing God. Acts 9:31, the early church moved in the fear of the Lord, and they grew in the fear of the Lord. And so the fear of God is New Testament, as well as Old Testament. It's speaking about some specific things about God. And I want to do a quick recap of what we did last week. Okay, by the way, Isaiah said the fear of the Lord is the key. It's the key to life. We said that fear of the Lord is to be in complete awe of God. The word awful, A-W-F-U-L, it means, the original etymology of that word is, it means awesome, it means big, you know. And so God is awesome. He's the only one that's awesome. Kids use that term, they'll say, you know, that movie was awesome, or that food was awesome. That is not the right use of awesome. The world, of course, has taken words and attached to them wrongful meanings. Like the word enthusiastic. They'll say, wasn't that an enthusiastic presentation that that scientist made? Well, if the scientist didn't know God, it wasn't enthusiastic. Because enthos means be in God. Awesome means that there is only one who's awesome, and that's God. And you and I have a chance today to touch the awesome God, as it were, to reach out to God. And as we fear him in life as the awesome God, we honor him. He is the great one. He's the eternal one. He's the immortal one. He's the powerful one. He is all knowledgeable. He is everything. He is everywhere. He is my all. And we are to fear him. The fear also means it breeds in us a deep reverence. When we come before God, as we do this morning in corporate worship, we don't come lightly before God. We come with gravity of heart that this is the living God. This is the day of the week when the world gets together to worship the living God. So it's an awesomeness of God. It's a deep reverence in God. But it produces in us an obedience to God, the fear of God. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, it's a fear of, not a slavish fear to keeping the regulations of God in such a, you know, sort of a serviceness that we are into legalism. That isn't the case. Romans 8:15 says God hasn't given us that spirit of fear, but we cry, Abba, Father. It's a relationship fear. It's a respect fear. It's the fear of Almighty God. And that reverence is, it's a fear of displeasing and dishonoring God and disobeying God. So we come to a sacred part of life, and that is God. And the fear of God must be part of us to open the words, the pages of Holy Writ. I remember one of my favorite preachers was in Toronto, and he was the pastor of a huge church in Toronto, Mr. Griffiths. And he'd take the Word of God out, and he would just reverently handle the Word of God. And he always preached from the Word of God. But He approached it with a sacredness. And why do I do this? Why am I talking about the fear of God? Because I sense that there's a lightness that's happening in the Christian world. It's a lightness of God, that he's my buddy. But also, when that lightness begins to come into our heart, that God is not to be as I have already described him, as it were, that lightness begins to allow us a freedom to do things that don't please God. Do you know what I'm getting at that? If you don't have the fear of God in you, then you take his commands very, very lightly. And so the fourth thing I said last week from Scripture, and it was a direct quote from Proverbs 8:13. It defines the fear of God. It says in Proverbs 8:13, "The fear of the Lord is to hate evil." And then I took you to the eight things in the Bible that God hates. So the fear of the Lord is to hate what God hates. I want to pick up on that this morning. But the fear of the Lord is to love what God loves. To love what God loves. Okay. You know, this morning we had a young blonde sitting here, standing here singing, and her name is Christine. Or is it Christina? Christine. Justine. Ooh. I tried my hardest. Sorry, Justine. That was the mother-in-law, I think. I'm sorry. Justine. And she just got married to the drummer. It's good to be on the worship team around here if you're looking for a good wife or a husband. Anyhow, Justine and Dan are only husband and wife, I don't know, about a month. But there's a story of a pastor, and this pastor wrote of this in his, and he was so close to a young couple that had just gotten married. And they came back off their honeymoon, and he went out, he met them in the foyer, and he said to the groom, he said, "Oh," he said, and this is like, you know, 30 years ago, he said, did your bride burn the roast on your first meal?" And she was there too, of course, the bride. And she says, "Oh, it's so funny," she said. "You know," she said, "I was afraid I was going to. I focused on preparing the very best meal I could for him." And she says, "I wanted things to turn out, and I guess I was kind of afraid they wouldn't. But then Roger came home late that night for the first meal." And she says, I was kind of afraid the food would be ruined." And the pastor said, "Sarah, you said three times, were you afraid? Are you afraid of Roger?" She said, "Oh, of course not. I just love him." And she looked with those adoring eyes of a young bride on her groom, you know. "I just love him so, so very, very much. You know what I mean, Pastor." And I think I'll use that illustration. We love God so much. And holy fear is a godly anxiety. It's a desire to please God in all that we say or do. You see, the fear of God is joined to the love of God. And I love God with all my heart when I have the proper respect of who God is, and I also have a proper respect of how powerful sin is. And so when the Bible calls a sin, it is a sin. It is a sin. And it can just destroy you. So I ended with Proverbs 8. Hate what God hates. I said God hates divorce. But now God loves, on the other side, those who will keep their covenant of youth one with another. All of heaven is counting on these young couples, that they will forever, ever, ever keep their covenant one to another. You see, the obverse of hate is love. And the obverse of God hating divorce is loving a good marriage. Then I said, and I told you, the church, I said, it isn't just that which God hates. And then I went to Proverbs 6, 16 to 19, and saw the things he hates. And the seventh, he has a double hatred, those who destroy the unity of the church, those who sow discord. So God hates that, but he loves, rather, those who will build up the church, those who will speak words of edification to each other. So God hates things, but you see, you fear God if you love what he loves as well. Twice he said he hates false witness. He hates a lying tongue. But he loves it when you tell the truth. He loves it when you speak the truth in love. Okay, you're getting a picture there of what it is to fear God from last Sunday. That was our point. Oswald Chambers spoke of the power of the fear of God. And Chambers said this. He said, the remarkable thing about fearing God is that when you fear God, you fear no one else, and you don't fear anything. But if you do not fear God, you fear everything else. If you do not fear God, you fear everything else. So the name of the message this morning, in the next few moments, is how do we learn the fear of God? How do we as a church learn the fear of God? Let's not put it down to just individual, but how do we as a church learn the fear of the Lord? And it says, as I mentioned in Acts 9:31, that the early church was living in the fear of the Lord. How can Campbell River Baptist Church learn this? I got a couple points, and a couple of them were given by Brother John Yates. But I want you to go to the first point that I got from Jeremiah 32. So go to the Old Testament and find Jeremiah 32, verse 38. Jeremiah 32, verse 38. Mom and Dad, could I encourage you, Mom and Dad, to stick up your antennas this morning? Mom and Dad? I know there's a lot of moms and dads out there. I'm talking about the ones who got the kids still in the house. Mom and Dad, could you listen just a little bit more this morning? Because there's some scriptures that start touching upon parental responsibility. Look at Jeremiah chapter 32. And let's go down to verse 38. God says, they'll be my people, I'll be their God. Good stuff, good stuff. Where are your people, Lord? You are God. I will give them singleness of heart and action so they will always fear me. Singleness of heart and action so they'll always fear me. Why? For their own good and the good of their children after them. So if I am fearing God, he wants me to always fear him. For my own good, but for the good of my kids. This is big time, very, very important stuff. Okay? You are to fear God. This is serious stuff. But some of you might just quickly kick out a verse and say, Pastor Randy, doesn't it say in the Bible that perfect love casts out fear? Yeah, that's in 1 John 4, verse 17, 18, and 19. But it's talking about the judgment. And when I stand before Jesus Christ with all my sins, I will never fear God. And that's the only place where perfect love will be. Check it out in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Perfect love happens in glory. And now we see through glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. The perfect will come, but there's to be a fear of God here to keep us kind of in check. Okay. Now, in Jeremiah 32, 38, it is for my good, but the good of my children. The only way that your children are going to survive the culture of tomorrow is that they learn to fear God today. And that requires you bringing your kids. That requires you teaching your kids. Deuteronomy 6 tells you how to teach your kids, by the way. Check that out. But look at what it says here. I'll make an everlasting covenant with them. I will never stop doing good to them. God, I thank you. You never stop doing good to us. And I will inspire them to fear me so they'll never turn away from me. I'll rejoice in doing them good and assuredly plant them in this land with all my heart and soul. God's promise, he wants to inspire fear in us. So the first thing for Campbell River Baptist Church is this. You need to ask God to inspire fear in you. Ask God to inspire fear of God in you. So that you give to God who he really is. So that you're going to accept the word of God and you're not going to sin lightly. And the problem with this is grace, understanding. You understand grace and you believe that you can stretch grace to cover every time you dance with the devil or you get near to the precipice and you think you can even fall over because God has forgiven me. Somebody said to me, I can sin that sin because God will forgive me. Well, you see, when you forget Romans, or you use Romans 8:1, you forget Romans 6:1 that says what? Do you know what Romans 6:1 says? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Here's the strongest commandment in the Bible. God forbid. How shall we that are in him sin any longer? You can't sin freely thinking God is going to forgive you. You see, if you don't have the fear of God in your heart, that's the attitude you come to the scriptures on. But you need to learn how to fear God. And so God is saying in Jeremiah, ask. So I'm challenging you as a congregation. Can it be said that that's a God-fearing congregation at Campbell River Baptist Church? Or can they do what they want? Can they play with the truth? Can they sow discord? Can they just get divorced? Can they do all these things? We have a chance to be holy. Holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty. Be holy for I am holy. Stand up and be counted for God. God says, I want to do good to you. I want to do good to you. But how I'm going to do that is I'm going to inspire the fear of God in you. Okay. But secondly, not only is it we ask in prayer for that, that's a bold request, by the way, but some of you know 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, don't you? It says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. This whole book, God breathed it out. All scripture is given inspiration to God. And it's profitable for doctrine, as teaching, for reproof, to tell me where I've gone wrong, correction, to set me back on my path, and to instruct me in righteousness and holiness, that the man, the woman of God, may be perfect, complete, thoroughly furnished to every good work. Here's my counsel. Here it is. Read all the Bible, even the distasteful portions of the Bible. Gives you a full picture of who God is. Don't pick and choose. Ask what all these statements in the Bible teach us about God. And that, as you read it, will teach you the fear of the Lord. It is so, so important that you realize the power of God's commands. God said to Noah, he said, Noah, I am going to destroy the world. In fact, he said in Genesis 9, he says, I'm going to wipe off mankind from the face of this earth. Noah said, really? But then God said, Noah, you have found grace in my sight. And I want you to build an ark. Noah had never seen rain before in his life. And God told him something totally irrational. But it says, Noah prepared the ark, and it says in Hebrews 11 on the Hall of Heroes of Faith, it said, Noah built the ark and feared God. He knew God would keep his word even though it didn't seem like it would happen. God says this world is coming to an end. Your beautiful house and all your land and your cars and your money and everything in this world is going to be burnt up. There's destruction coming to planet Earth, and Peter talks to it. But guess what? You have found grace in his sight. You are a peculiar people. You're a unique people. You've been called by God. He's given you eternal life. And he says, you found grace. Now will you move with fear like Noah? Or let's go to another ad. I call it ad in the Bible. Because you see, it's not only asking God, reading all the Bible, but how we learn to fear God is to study those who feared God. To study those who feared God. And you know one who feared God? His name was Abraham. Abraham, he feared God. He took God serious. And God said to him one day, he says, Abraham, I want you to take Isaac, your only son. He's your only son. I want you to take him and sacrifice him to me. You want me to do what? He's to be the heir. He's the one you promised. God says, sacrifice him. Abraham saddled his donkey, took his son. Sounds like his son was probably powerful enough to overcome the old man. Abraham was probably older than I am, a lot older. But he took the young fella, and of course Isaac was submissive to his father, and he took him, he built an altar, put the wood on and all that sort of stuff. It was going to burn. He took his, put Isaac, he tied him up, put his son on the altar, and he took out his knife to kill his son. I guess so his son didn't want to burn alive. And God told him sacrifice, and he said, I will, God. He took his knife to kill his son. God says, hold it, Abraham. Do your son no harm. And then there was a ram caught in a thicket for the sacrifice. But what's my point? My point is in Genesis 22, God said, now I know that you fear God. Now I know that you fear God. What's God telling you to do right now? He tests you. He was testing Abraham in his faith. But he's asking you to trust him in his word, though it seems irrational. He's asking you to trust him. He's asking me to love my enemies. He's asking wives to submit to husbands. He's asking you to tithe on your income. He's asking you a lot of things that are just don't seem to make sense to a sharp, secular, worldly mind. But it's the fear of God that causes me to say, yes, God. And it causes me to see Jesus that says, Jesus said, whoever has my commands and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And he that loves me will be loved to my Father, and I will love him, and we'll manifest ourselves to him. God wants to give you all of himself. But he does want to fear you. He wants you to fear your mother. Okay. I think the fourth way, and Yeats makes this point here, he says, you learn the fear of the Lord by considering God's creation. You learn the fear of the Lord by considering God's creation. Wow. And are we responsible around Campbell River? Are we responsible around this city for the creation? I mean, responsible in the sense of, man, you look out, there's God. I was down the corner of the parking lot this morning, just kind of reading over my sermon a bit, and looked out and I saw mountains here, mountains here, mountains here. Man, I thought of Psalm 125, verse 2, as the mountains surround Jerusalem, so God surrounds us. The mountains speak to me the eternity of God. That's scriptural. And yesterday, it was about 9 degrees, and I went out for a little walk, and I got to a park, and I sat on the beach, and I let the sun just kind of shine on me, and it was so neat to, and I thought, what, God, creation? Boy, I fear you, Lord. I'm told now, God, that if that sun was an inch away further, that I would freeze to death. And if it was an inch closer, I would roast to death. Creation tells me of God. The world is 6 sextillion tons. That's 6 and 21 zeros. That many million tons. The world spins at 1,000 miles an hour. None of you have ever gone 1,000 miles an hour. 6, 9 million miles a year? But none of us ever tumble off. You know, it's tilted, you see, at 23 degrees. It was tilted just a shade difference. We'd have the seasons, we'd have a melted polar ice cap. You know, there'd be problems. Look at creation and fear your God. He's the God who loves you. God of wonders beyond our galaxy. Do you see the privilege you have? I must hasten on here. I think fifthly, you can learn the fear of God by practicing worship. Nothing is more important to the serious Christian than coming to the corporate worship of Almighty God. Nothing is more important than coming to the corporate worship of Almighty God. To kneel before Him, to enthusiastically sing these songs of praise to God, to reverently bring your Bible and see that God says in it from Jeremiah 32, He wants to do you good all the time. Don't substitute other things for worship. I go out Sunday afternoon and I go visiting. I hardly ever make an appointment. I just knock on doors. And I came to the yard and there's a young fella. And I said, hey, how you doing? Fine. I said, wasn't that an incredible song that they sang this morning at church? Wasn't that, that music was just so wonderful. He said, well, we didn't go to church. He said, we're cleaning the yard today. I saw Dad out there cleaning the yard and Mom. Very responsible people in our church, but what's worship today? How sad. You see, it's sad because it's the kids who are learning that lifestyle. You're not pleasing God. There's no fear of God with you if you're doing something like that. Let me just wind it down to Deuteronomy 31. Go in the Old Testament, 31. Hear me now? I'm going to wind it down, okay? Deuteronomy 31. Wind it down. I was at the funeral for Alex Fraser. You know they named that big bridge after Alex Fraser? And he was the MP out in Quesnel for 21 years, and I was minister there for 23 years. And I got there, and I came to that big event, and Premier Bennett was there, and Premier Van Der Zandt. They couldn't seem to fly on one airplane together, but about 7 airplanes landed in Quesnel. Never saw such a congested airport of jets. And came this big funeral, and they all took their time. All the politicians, of course, at the funeral of such a dignitary like Alex Fraser. And it was kind of comical. I sat there, and I sat beside this lady, couple ladies, and Alex Fraser's friend, who's the pastor in Chilliwack, also an MP, was to do the preaching, you know. And this lady looked at me, and it was hot, like it was 95 degrees. And she looked at her watch, and she said, "Woof!" And she said, "Now what, sir?" I said, "What?" She said, "Now they're calling upon the preacher." She says, "You get those guys wound up, you can't shut them up, can you?" I looked at her. I kind of smiled. She started rolling her eyes. Her friend jabbed her one. She says, "Are you the preacher?" Anyhow, she got some gift of a poem out of her purse and gave me a gift of a poem, and she did everything she could to try to apologize. But you can't shut him up. You go wind him up. You can't stop him. I said, "I'm going to wind down in a minute." Okay, trust me on this one. Deuteronomy 31. And Mom and Dad, 12 and 13. The fear of God. Assemble the people, men, women, and children, and the aliens living in your town, so they can what? Listen and learn to what? Fear the Lord your God. And to follow carefully all the words of this law. You notice the fear of God is always attached to what? The law of the Lord. The fear of God is attached to God's word. To get all of God, you need God's word. But listen further. Carefully. Follow carefully all the words of this law. Not some of them, but all the words. Their children who do not know this law must hear it and what? Learn to fear the Lord your God as long as you live in the land you're crossing the Jordan to possess. Mom and Dad, you have a strong mandate from God. And it means that you take this business seriously, because your children will not survive the culture of this world tomorrow without a healthy respect and a proper fear of God. And they get it from the book. Right now, Leora Swatsy and the leaders in there, they are preaching your children from the book. She's going through the gospel of John. You need to learn and teach your children the things of God. I guarantee you, Mom and Dad, you will lose your children tomorrow if you adopt this light attitude toward God. You will not make it. Your kids will be disobedient. And they're watching you clean the yard on Sunday instead of worshiping Almighty God. Okay, the fear of the Lord. Well, I was going to go through some of the benefits of fearing God. I mean, it drives out other fears if I fear God. It'll lengthen my life if I fear God. Proverbs said it'll help me touch knowledge. It'll keep my children safe if I fear God. It'll please our God if I fear him, but I fear him by loving him. I love him by fearing him. Fear is love. Love is fear. In and out they move, but fear is an intenser joy than mere unfrightened love. They love you, Lord, little, if at all, if they do not fear you much. If love is thine attraction, Lord, fear is your loving touch. And there may be a couple of you today, and you're not a Christian at all. And the stuff that I say to you is kind of foolishness unto you. It says that, by the way, in 1 Corinthians 2:14. Things of the Spirit are silly to you. 1 Corinthians 1:18, they're foolishness to you. But unto us which are saved, they are the power of God. I just want to say to you at the last here, if you're without Christ, Jesus Christ taught this. He said this. He said, don't fear, Luke 12:4-5, check it at home. He said, don't fear those who can kill the body. But he said, fear him whom after the body has dead, has power to cast into hell. Fear him. You will stand before him. But Christians, a healthy fear, it's related to the Word of God. And your kids have been given to you by God, and they are dependent upon you to have a good marriage, but to teach them law of God. And that goes New Testament too, by the way. Paul said to Lois and Eunice, you know, teach them the law of God. All Scripture has been inspired by God. Let's pray. Lord, I don't know how you talk to this group of people. I mean, I don't mean you can't talk to them. I mean, I don't know what you said to them individually. But would to God, Lord, that each one receives some little crumb of the Word of God, and regardless where they're at in their Christian walk, that they would realize, Lord, you want us to fear you. Healthy, healthy respect. Create that in us, Lord. I ask you, Lord, for Camel River Baptist Church, that you would help us to fear the Lord, and to learn it, to read the lives of all the saints, to see creation and its greatness. Learn the fear of the Lord, and to worship you, and to teach our kids. Help these dear parents, Jesus. They got quite a chore, but they can do it with you if they get serious with God. Amen.
The splendor of the King, clothed in majesty, let all the earth rejoice, all the earth rejoice. He wraps himself in light, and darkness tries to hide, and trembles at his voice, and trembles at his voice. How great is our God! Sing with me, how great is our God! And all who see how great is our God! He stands, and time is in his hands, beginning and the end, beginning and the end. The God in three in one, Father, Spirit, Son, the Lion and the Lamb, the Lion and the Lamb. How great is our God! Sing with me, how great is our God! Don't we see how great is our God?
Name above all names.
Name above.
Our God.
How great is our God! Sing with me, how great is our God! And all will see how great is our God! How great. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great!
great thou art. How great thou art.
Thine, O Lord, is the greatness, the power, and the glory, and the victory, and the honor, and the majesty. Lord, both riches and honor come of you, but you reign over all. In your hand is power and might. In your hand it is to make great, to give strength unto all. And therefore, our God, we thank you. We praise your glorious, glorious name. God is our refuge and strength. Take all the glory, Father. Help us not to forget what you want us to remember as we come to realize again this sacred experience of walking hand in hand with Almighty God. We fear you, Lord. We love you, Lord. In Christ's name, may that blessing rest on these people as they live you out, they live their profession of faith out in this world before we all come to the point we stand before you. May it be said, this man, this woman feared God. Amen.